1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Thank you, and be seated, please. Now you can be seated. All right. Temptation and the saint. As you can see in Paul's letter to the people in Thessalonica, he has a fear for them. He was fearful, lest by some means the tempter had tempted them. And of course, the implication here is not just that they'd been tempted, but that they had given in to that temptation. And so we're looking back about 2,000 years when we read that scripture, and we see that temptation was a problem with Christians. And so tonight, the message that I bring to you is a message that's just good for temptation. Anything you want to bring up that's temptation, this message tonight will apply to it. One of the most difficult things in the Christian life, I found, is dealing with temptation and sin, because they come in that order. They come in that order. Temptation first, and then if you don't successfully resist it, there comes along its partner called sin. That's what you see here in this verse. Now, it's an old, old problem with man. I just pointed out to you this verse here was written 2,000 years ago. But you go in the Old Testament and you find it. And, of course, you go back to the first man and first woman. And there you find temptation showing up there. So, temptation is an old, old problem for man. It's a problem for saved people. Just being saved. When you get saved, your sins are forgiven. Your position before the Lord is you're His child. But you still can be tempted, and you still will be tempted. That's why Paul is writing to these people in this church in Thessalonica. And then, of course, if you're lost, you're tempted to sin, even though you're a child of the devil, even though you're not a child of the Lord, you still are tempted to sin. Temptation still arises. The Bible has a lot to say about temptation. You've got the flesh, that's this old body that you live in. With the old sinful nature. You've got the world. And that's all that stuff going on out there with all its people and all its things that are doing wrong and that are wrong. And you got the devil, who's the god over this world, wicked world system. And these are very strong. And they're very determined opponents or adversaries for us as Christians. And they're very persistent adversaries. You don't just deal with them one time, and you're through with them. And you say, from here on, I'm immune. You know, there's some things you can get, some diseases you can get. Once you have it, you never have to worry about them again because you're immune to that. Your system is immune to that. Well, I wish that was the way it was with temptation. That once you dealt with it, you have built up an immunity to it. And you never had to fool with it again. But that's not true either. That's just not the way it goes. In fact, tonight, folks, I wouldn't be exaggerating at all if I said that you and I live in an ocean of sin. And the bad part about it is some of those things out there that are sinful, we get attracted to. We are tempted by. And, of course, the devil knows just how to approach us to bring about this temptation. Now, I want to consider three things tonight in temptation. First of all, and this will be briefly, and we'll leave more unsaid than we say, but we'll leave enough tonight that you will have the basics for dealing with temptation. First, I want us to look at what is temptation. That's to define it. I'll try to make it as simple as I can. We'll look at some actual examples of temptation in the Bible. And then, of course, third, we want to look at dealing with temptation victoriously. Now, everybody deals with temptation, but everybody doesn't deal with it victoriously. Some deal with it very poorly. That's the thing I want to look at. What is temptation? Actual examples of it in the Bible. And dealing with temptation victoriously. So we can go away from here tonight, at least having our minds refreshed, or maybe learning some things that we didn't already know. Because there isn't a question about it tonight. This message is needed by everybody. There's some messages they might be specifics or for one specific group. But if you're living and you're breathing tonight, this message will fit you in some way or the other. All right, let's start off first of all with the question. What is temptation? I tried to find a good definition, just a plain, simple definition. And I came up with this. Temptation is present. Anytime, anywhere, anyway, the opportunity to sin is presented. The opportunity to sin in thought, the opportunity to sin in word, and the opportunity to sin in deed, and it can be the opportunity to sin by omission or by commission. Now, I think that pretty well is a good general definition of sin. Anywhere. In any place, at any time, that you have the opportunity to sin, temptation is present. Remember that, dear people. Now, temptation is stronger in some cases. Temptation is stronger in some people. And temptation is stronger sometimes than it is other times. And you understand that tonight, and you probably already know and can think of some examples in your life. There's times when you're in a position to be tempted in a particular way that you wouldn't ordinarily be. And then there's places you could be where you can count on more temptation there than if you were somewhere else where that stuff wasn't there, and so forth. So you can see that temptation is a variable thing. Be strong, it'd be weak. It'd be in certain locations, not as strong or not present in certain other locations. And, of course, dear people, it can be, there can be temptation that some people will have problem with temptations that you don't have any problem with, you see. And so temptation is pretty varied. We could just talk about that tonight and take a lot of time to do that. But we're not going to do it that way. We're going to move on. But I just want you to understand that. See, we need to have an understanding about temptation. The better you understand something, the better you're able to resist it or overcome it. Now, we said that's what temptation is, just giving you a good, simple definition. Now, just think just a minute quickly. You already can just, I started asking tonight if you would be honest, particular instances where you have been tempted, just in the things that way I've defined it tonight, you could tell me. And it would be more than one. It would be like, no, let's see, I did that one time. And it's not like that. Temptation's just like, it comes like grapes in bunches. Like bananas in bunches. All right, so what's temptation? We presented that to you. Anywhere there is the opportunity to sin, you got temptation. That's it. All right, now, let's look at some examples in the Bible of temptation. Let's start with one of my favorite ones, and it's my favorite because it is a picture of temptation that's handled in the right way. Yet we got to go way back in the Old Testament. We've got to go back over 2,000 years ago. We've got to go back way on back. Over about 3,000 years ago. We've got to go back to the days of Joseph, so we got to go way on back there. We've got to go back probably over 3,500 years ago. Because that's how long, and we find temptation there. So let's go to chapter 39, and let's read verses 7 through 13. This goes back to Joseph when the children of Israel were still in Egypt. And we're going to look there in 39, verses 7 through 13. And, of course, it's in about 1500 B.C. whenever the children of Israel, 1400 to 1500 B.C., when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And then you add the 2,000 years since Christ been here, you got 3,400 years right there. All right. So let's look beginning at verse 7. It's not a strange scripture for you. We've read it before. You had it in Sunday school, read it yourself, the Bible reading, and so forth. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, that is Joseph's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph. And he was a good-looking young man. He was a real handsome young man. Not raggedy like you see today in young men with their knee breeches and knees out. I don't know who came up with all that stuff, but he was a fine-looking young man, very presentable young man. Of course, he caught his master's wife's eyes, and she said, "Lie with me." In other words, this is a nice way of saying, "Let's commit adultery." All right. His response was, but he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wallet, he doesn't know what is with me in the house. I'm in charge of everything. I take care of it. He doesn't even worry about it. He doesn't even keep up with it. He knows I'm dependable. And he has committed all that he hath in my hand." Man, he has to ask me what he's got. He doesn't keep up with it. He knows that I'll take care of it as good as he does or better. And he's selling this to this woman who's asking to commit adultery. He said, "There's none greater in this house than I. I'm the top man in Potiphar's house. Neither hath he kept back anything from me." I mean, I'm in charge of everything. But one thing, but thee, because thou art his wife. And therefore, you are exempted from all his other possessions. And I have no control over you. No, you have no obligation to me. No forth. That's, you're his wife. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. Look at that. She didn't just try one time. She was persistent. That he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. In other words, to commit adultery with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, commit adultery with me." And I cried out with a loud voice. And, of course, he ran off. Now, let's look. Joseph. He's an example of temptation. There's a temptation that was presented in the form of Potiphar's wife, who wanted to commit adultery with this young, handsome manslave, Joseph. And she presented this again and again and again, which means that temptation kept presenting itself in the same way. Not just once and it's over with, but just pounding at the door, knocking at the door, saying, "Let me in. Oh, come on." Now, I think this lady was trying this because it had worked. What she was an instrument of the devil trying to bring down Joseph. Temptation in this case seemed unavoidable. Why? Because he worked for Potiphar. And Joseph's work required him to go in to that area where this woman was, and he was exposed to this temptation. So if he was going to do his job and do it right, he was going to have to be exposed to that temptation over and over and over again. You see, Joseph had two problems with his temptation. Number one, he was in trouble if he yielded. He was in trouble with Potiphar. If he yielded to him, it could have cost him his life, committing adultery with this woman. Of course, if he didn't yield, she was still in a position to lie on him or cause him trouble, and he'd get in trouble for not sinning. So it's like, which horn do you want to be gored with, Joseph? You got to give up. Boy, you're in trouble anyway you go. Well, we could go on and on, but you get the picture tonight. Joseph is a picture that God intended for us to take a close look at, that deals with temptation. In the case of Joseph, who was a young man at the prime of his life, good looking, Potiphar's wife, I don't know how old she was, but she was an older woman, that's for sure. Here she was. If Joseph had wanted an excuse, he had it. But he didn't succumb to it. Now, when there's a temptation that comes and presents itself to sin, sin presents itself in that form. And it happens one time and you can get away from it. That's great. Two times, well, that's not as good, but that's great. But we don't know how many times this opportunity to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife was presented to him. And evidently she thought, and she was pretty confident at least, that she could get away with it, or either she didn't care anyway. She figured out she had her fling. She just let Potiphar know and she could handle him and he'd take care of Joseph. I don't know. Who knows her evil and wicked heart? But she's a picture, an example of temptation. And we'll look at how he handled it after a while, specifically for our own benefit, because it's important that we do that, because we said we want to talk about dealing with temptation. So there's an example of temptation. And that shows us that this was going on about 3,500 years ago. But basically, dear people, it's as modern as today is. Do you know that? It's going on today. This goes on today. And some of you sitting here tonight may know exactly what Joseph was going through. You may have been there. You may have been there. I mean, this will apply to temptations to steal money. I mean, if you're working in the bank, how many times are you exposed to the temptation to steal? As many times as you where that money is. There's temptation is present with the fact that the money's there. And, of course, some people have fallen to it. And you can just take that and apply it to your life in any place, in any way. And basically you'll see that what happened to David was not strange. It's just a picture of one temptation which basically you can apply to others. Well, let's get to another example. Now, this one here is one that's an altogether different situation from what we just looked at. Now, this fellow's name was David, and he was a king. You remember him, don't you? Well, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, and let's look at verses 1 through 5. The Lord's put this in here for us tonight so that we might benefit from it. He's put a lot, but I'm only going to pick 3 tonight for us. Important to us, because, dear people, you will battle with temptation. You have battled with it. Maybe you're battling with it tonight. Maybe you battled with it before you came to church. Maybe some of them aren't here battling with it and lost. Did you know that? And they didn't realize, oh, I'm just making the decision not to go to church for so-and-so and so-and-so. Whoop. Hold on. That's what we're talking about tonight. Temptation that's presented, that if you fall it, you're sin. All right? 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Let's look at that briefly tonight. Not read it all. We just briefly read it to you. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Uh-oh. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And, of course, keep in mind that it's not like walking on the roofs of our houses. That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? As a flatman. He walked upon the roof of his house, as the people did in those days, because they were used to, like porches, and they could get cool and relax up there. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, who's a good soldier of David? See, she's married. Making a difference, David was, but they told her who he was. She was. Well, David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. That's a nice way the Bible has of saying he committed adultery with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house after it was all over with. We would call it their little escapade, their little fleeing. And the Bible said she conceived in verse 5 and sent and told David and said, I'm with child. Our little one-night stand has caused me to conceive or to be with child. Now today they'd say, well, go to the abortionist and kill it. We committed the sin, but let's offer the child up for sacrifice. But now here's David, man in a very responsible position. This is a fellow could whip Goliath. This is a fellow said, I whipped a bear. This fellow said, I whipped a lion. This is a fellow that when he walked on that house and he looked over and he saw this woman bathing herself and she was exposing her nakedness and he saw that she was a beautiful woman, beautiful form, beautiful temptation presented itself. Instead of walking back into the house and going on about his business, he gave in to temptation. He's a king. But he was like putty when it came to dealing with temptation. Temptation was presented to him in the form of a married woman here too, Bathsheba. But it had been wrong for him, married or single, and for both of them. Because sexual sin outside of being between a husband and wife is a sin. That's all you say, sexual relations. Now, if David had been where he should have been, he was in the wrong place. That's where his temptation came from. You get that? Sometimes just by not being where you should have been, being where you shouldn't have been, temptation presents itself. So if you'll take care to be where you ought to be and not where you shouldn't be, that'll take care of some temptation in your life. That's what you see. David yielded, though, to temptation. He yielded without even a struggle. Oh boy, didn't put up a fight. Now, compare his actions as a king with this manslave, Joseph, and his actions. Now, which one of them was the best man? There isn't any question which one was the best man, because the Bible said if you're able to control yourself, you're greater than a man that can rule a whole city. Now, I'm paraphrasing that. Because self is hard to take care of. You are easier on self. You'll give self more breaks than you will somebody else. All right? He used his power and he used his authority to see that this temptation produced the fruit of adultery. He took that and used it to promote sin. This woman wasn't like Potiphar's wife. This temptation didn't just keep presenting itself again and again and again and him dealing with it until he's finally battled. It showed itself one time. No battle. I'm going to go ahead. I can do this thing. I'm the king. And I can get away with it. I guarantee you tonight, Angola's full of people that found the temptation. When you're under its sway, it looks like you got it all figured out. It doesn't work out like that. There was no resisting by David. None. Just look at it. He's just eager to surrender. All David could think about was he desired this woman, and he was going to satisfy his desires. He was no Joseph. He was going to have what he wanted. Have you been there? Oh, you say, I've never, you women say, I've never desired to commit sexual sin with a man. And men may say, I've never desired to commit sexual sin with a woman. No, that's not. He said, these things will fit anything. They don't just have to be limited to sexual sin. The whole thing is we're looking at temptation. That's what we want to get over to you tonight, is temptation. Temptation. You know the time when you've done something wrong and you realize you've been had? Sometimes you didn't even take the time to stop to think. You decide, I want that. Whatever it was, I want that. And I'll have that because I can't have that like David. It's within my power. And you know the results, don't you? Whether it's in small items or transgressions or whether it's in larger ones. Legally, all wrongdoing is sin. All sin doesn't bring about the same results. But it's all legally in God's eyes sin. Whether it be small, what we call small things, or whether it be called large things. So we see where he was presented with temptation. And boy, he just fell flat on his face. Flat on his face. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Most of us could identify with him falling flat on his face and succumbing to temptation and giving over to it than we can with Joseph and him handling it. Yeah. Well, one time I... Don't tell me about that one time. Tell me about that 10 times you didn't. 1 out of 10's not too good, huh? Isn't that right? 1 out of 10 is not good. That's 10%. You got 90% you didn't make it too well in. That's what we're talking about tonight. It's not easy to be a Christian, folks. Most folks don't even stop and think about what I'm talking about tonight. Most people just think about, I want it, it's there, I have it, I'll take it. Never stopping to think, wait a minute, is this right or wrong? Does God condemn it or not? I want it, I'll have it. I can get it, I can do it, I can get away with it. Who's going to stop me? Mama's not here, she's at the house. Daddy's not here, she's at the house. Elizabeth, she's at their friend's house. Abby's at her friend's house. There ain't nobody but me, Gabby. Who's ever going to know? You see what I'm talking about? Who's going to know? Oh, I can get away. The main one is looking down. We do well if we remember tonight, we live in glass houses. And God's always eavesdropping, and he has a right to eavesdrop. You see, young people say, well, my mom and daddy don't respect my privacy. Well, I'm going to tell you somebody who doesn't respect your privacy. His name is God. And he has the right to invade your privacy, as you call it, any time. Well, let's move on to another one here. Jesus Christ. That's the third example of temptation I want you to see. And for this one, let's go over to Luke chapter 4. And let's look at verses 1 through 13. A little bit more to read, but I want to read it all because it's important tonight. Because I know you battle with temptation. Some of you probably battle with temptation staying home tonight. You see? Always temptation's there. You say, husband says, well, I don't feel like going. How easy it is for the wife to say, well, I don't feel like it either. I'll just stay here with you. Take that home with you. Wife says, well, I don't feel like going tonight. I just don't feel like going. Let me ask you something tonight, folks. Have you ever done things you didn't feel like doing? Well, folks do without everything except church. You go in tonight and you check it out with Daddy and say, you ever going to work whenever you didn't feel like it? He'll say, shoot, you got to be kidding. I can't even count it. You see, that's the way we are. But we don't take temptation to otherwise. We can get in a little deeper. We won't get into it a little deeper. Because you're already thinking about it now. Sometimes all you got to do is, you don't have to get very deep. All you got to do is just plant the seed. And folks will take it and go with it from there. All right? Let's look here. Verses 1 through 13. You there? And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted. 40 days tempted of the devil. Notice that. Not just at the end, folks. 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days. And in those days he did eat nothing, getting weaker, weaker. And when they were ended, he afterward hungry. He's very hungry. Here comes the devil for his parting shot. Boy, he's going to give it everything he's got now. I think probably he's tempted all the time, kind of waiting. Down to the end where he could just give it everything he had. All right. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Oh, he's hungry. He's hungry. He said, bread? Why, you can have bread. Everybody knows you can have bread. You don't have to go around here hungry like this. You can eat right now. I know you. You're more than just a mortal man. You're God. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Yes, I could eat that bread now, but the after effects would be I have sinned and I've got to deal with that. No, he said, hungry Jesus said, no, I'm not getting the bread that way. My wife doesn't love me. She doesn't show me enough attention. She doesn't treat me like a man. But I've noticed that you do. I've noticed how you treat men. Now, you probably would understand me. Mr. Temptation. Switch it around. There it comes. We could stop there for a while, camp, couldn't we? But we won't. We won't. All right, let's go on. And the devil, he didn't stop, you see. He's not through. Okay. I'll find your size after a while. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, what's he doing with him up there? He showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's some TV. And no TV there. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. I'll make you somebody, and you won't be a hungry man out here in the wilderness. You can have all of this. Look at that. You can be a wheel. You can be a big shot. Now, buddy, he's used that one a lot, hasn't he? And he's been quite successful. And he hasn't offered them all that much either. I'll give you the next promotion for supervisor if you'll sell out for me. For me? He said, if thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered unto him, hungry Jesus, out in the wilderness. He doesn't look like a ruler out. He's not ruling over anything out there. Why, he's out there alone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. He must have been standing in front of him, huh? For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So he struck out again. But if you'll notice, he's going to stay right there for the time being. Verse 9 says he brought him to Jerusalem. We'll change locations. We'll change locations. And set him on the pinnacle of the temple. High place. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Jump off of here. For it is written, see, he's trying to use the Bible now to justify getting Jesus to sin. He finds you using the Bible against him, keep him sin, he starts using the Bible to justify it. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. You got to promise it. Nothing's going to hurt you. Well, we can get it a little deeper, but what he's doing here is giving us an example of misuse of Scripture, because you misuse the Scripture to sin, you're wrong. And I'll tell you right, that's one of the things that you get people cornered and they'll do that. That's not what God gave you the Bible for, to use it to justify your sins. And you succumb to temptation. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, he's going back to the book, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him, and notice the last part, for a season. That doesn't mean forever. That means temporarily. Now let's look at that tonight. Let's look at this. The Lord Jesus Christ, his temptation was unavoidable. See, he must face the devil out there and win, because Adam faced the devil. And he lost. And Jesus came to undo that situation and save man. So he must face that temptation and win. And that thing lasted continually for 40 days under very adverse circumstances. And whenever he put his last, I call best punches against Jesus, Jesus was at the bottom of the place where he was his strongest. Tired and hungry and alone. Nobody there to say, "Oh, don't do that." You know how that is, don't you? Abby said, "Gabby, you know you're not that. You don't do that." It helps to have somebody along there like that, doesn't it? He didn't have anybody out there with him. He was alone. And he was alone, you see. He was alone. But he stood firmly. And he won. He stood firmly. There's his temptation. All right, let's look at dealing with temptation, and let's separate. We looked at the examples of temptation, and we had to say a few things that will be in this part, but let's go over it again. Let's look at dealing with temptation victoriously, the next step. Let's look at Joseph. Joseph resisted just exactly what he should have done. There was no reason for him to give in to that temptation. There's never any reason for you and me to give in to temptation. Never. He resisted, and then when he got to the place to where he needed to, he ran from temptation. He got away from it. See, he's dealing with temptation. There are times whenever it's bravery and victorious to run. Get away from temptation. Stay away from it. He suffered the consequences. But he never said he was wrong, and he shouldn't have done it. He remained faithful to God. He remained true to Potiphar's trust. He kept Potiphar's wife from actually sinning, though she didn't mind. He kept her from the event itself. And he left a good testimony for others, and we're reading about it right now. And it was a help to others. He can, with God's help, we can. And not just with temptation to commit adultery or fornication, but this works with all temptations. He resisted. And then when it kept on, he got away from it. And he couldn't get away from it. At that time, he ran. Dear people, the fault with many people is temptation has presented itself and they just kept going back again because they sort of had a hankering for that. And they were just looking for a way that they could find a reason to give in. Not Joseph. I think Joseph got away from there because Joseph was afraid that if she just kept on and on and on, he might end up committing this sin. So he got away from it. Get away from it. Get away from it. You hear the husband come on and say, "Honey, I know I ran around with this woman down at the job, but you just thought she just kept throwing herself at me. Well, why did you keep standing there for her to hit you? Why were you still there every time she threw at you? Threw herself, you were there. Huh? Well, I didn't intend for it to end up like that. You're lying. You knew when you began to feel temptation strong. You know it's time to do something. You know when that thing begins to pull on you. You know when it's time to get out of there. Don't tell me that. We all know when they reach that line to where we better do something. Are we going to be in trouble regardless of whether it's a situation like this or not? You see? That's right. Why, your boss man has no right, lady, to catch you by the hand and hold your hand and look in your eyes and tell you how much he appreciates how your faithfulness to the job. Holding that hand. He can talk without holding your hand. See? And he doesn't have to tell you how beautiful your eyes are while his nose is almost touching yours. He can see your beautiful eyes off a few feet and say, "Miss so-and-so, you got pretty eyes. You know that?" And vice versa. Oh, you hear the men, you hear me, and Well, she just kept throwing herself at me. She just kept throwing herself at me. And she just kept on, and she wore this dress, and she dressed like this, and she talked so sweet, and she rolled those eyes. Hey, what were you doing? Were your feet glued to the floor while all this was going on, or could you move? Why didn't you get out of there? Huh? What? You see, that's where it is. You want to know the truth? It's enjoying every bit of that temptation. Enjoying it, man. Wife's not going to buy that. Husband's not going to buy that. Not going to work. All right. Let's look at David. We looked at Joseph dealing with temptation victoriously, the way God wants us to deal with temptation. We don't do it with all of it. We may not commit some of the sins like adultery. We may not use drugs and so forth and so on, illegal drugs. But we don't handle all the temptations. Like I said, temptation presents itself. Who is expecting the devil to tempt you not to go to church? Not, most Baptists aren't. Most others aren't. Definitely not going to waste his time on that. He's not. If he can get you to stay out of church long enough and often enough, get to where it won't bother you as much. You're that much easier to fall. You see? Now, I said this, folks, and I'll say it again. If when you get, and I'm not saying anybody's not sick tonight, but you listen to me because I mean every word I'm saying. If you notice that your sicknesses show up every time it's time for church, you have got a problem. If you're sick on Wednesday night and well on Thursday, and that's a continuing pattern, you got a problem. If you're sick on Sunday but you're well on Monday, you got a problem. If you're well on Saturday but you're sick on Sunday, and this is a continuing problem, you better look at yourself because you've got a problem. And I'm telling you that. And you say, well, I'm insinuating nothing, but I'm saying if this shoe is your size, put it on and wear it, because God says, you tell them, I'll do the application. I'll apply it, and they'll all know I'm talking about them, and they'll all know that I'm saying, I know what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. I know what you've been doing. How about that? I know it. Right, Ed? Right, Gab? I know what you've been doing. Huh? That's what preachers are for, to meddle. To meddle with people. To strengthen people. To cause them to stop and look at themselves. You say, well, I don't know. Well, I can't. Let me just tell you this. You just wait. If you have trouble, ask me to keep up with it for you. I'll remind you what it looks like you're having all your sickness in bed. When the church. Huh? You see, one thing about being an old preacher is you get wiser. You see. Old preacher and you get wiser. I've been around a while. All right. Now let's look at David's example. Now this David's example, this is the usual way it goes. His example of defeat in the battle with temptation. His sin, he succumbed to, multiplied into others. Here it is. First of all, you stayed at home, and I'm dealing with a little sin, and you didn't have to. The second thing, you lied to the preacher when you got there. See, that sin's already growing. You stayed and missed church when you weren't supposed to, and you lied to the preacher and told him you're sick, and you weren't. You just felt kind of bad. Now, how many times do you just kind of feel bad? Like, kind of feeling bad? Are you kidding me? Huh? See, sin begins to multiply. And you lie to the preacher. And then the preacher preaches a sermon like this, and you get back to the preacher. See how it's multiplying? And the next thing you know, you found something else wrong with the preacher. And you won't replace the preacher. Well, the preacher needs to replace you. You see how sin multiplies? Well, I don't like that preacher. No, it's not me. It's just that God has rung your doorbell too many times, and you won't blame me when it's your sin problem, not mine. I got my own to deal with. You'd be surprised how distasteful you can become when you get under people's skin as a preacher. And you don't even know that they're guilty. But the Bible said that a guilty man runs when nobody's after him. I'm paraphrasing it. He just thinks somebody is. Huh? You know how they're talking about, don't you? Uh-huh. We all know how that is, don't we? The guy hadn't been filing his income tax, and the government vehicle drives up outside, and he says, oh, the time has come. They got me out. I'm having trouble now. Now he knocks on the door. Can you tell me where Mr. So-and-so lives? And it's the guy down the street. You know what that is? Buddy, you already being hounded by the IRS. You just waiting. You know they're coming. You figure they're going to come. You just keep looking. Now, you're living a miserable life. You see what I'm telling you about? You're getting away with it, aren't you? Yeah. I don't know how many years they can go before they get you, but all those years you having to be prayed. Every knock on the door, every government vehicle. Even the mail truck will scare you till you sure look at it and say, well, that's a mail truck. I said, you know how it is, don't you? That's what the Bible's talking about. You know how it is when you're a kid, don't you, girls? Don't you, gay? When you're guilty and your mama whirls around and says, Tana, uh-oh, she's found out. I can't sleep at night. I've been so scared, afraid. Mama's going to find out. Was it really worth all that? What you did, was it really worth going through that?